Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Craig Butler, the man that Leon Bailey calls his father. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, awesome stuff. It's great to be talking to you. So I kind of want to go back to the start. The early days of leaving Jamaica with a young Leon Bailey and having to head to Europe. So what were the challenges with that and how difficult was it?
Well, it was extremely difficult. We had challenges with our FA in Jamaica in terms of how the organization was set up. It causes a lot of problems for local football, the English FA, and all the other countries. They try to ensure that they get the best players from the non-EU countries.
Yeah.
So they require that they have national caps. And that's great on the surface, but underneath the surface is the fact that the elected officials in the Jamaica Football Federation also owns or are part of several clubs in the country. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a work permit, for example, in England, you must have 75% of your country's last 15 games as a starter. You need the caps. And therefore, the people in the JFF, if they want to sell their players from their clubs that they own, they push their players into the national team to get caps. So if you look at it, Leon didn't play U15 for Jamaica, U13, U17, U20. He played one game in U23. And then he didn't play again for 4 years until they were unable to hide him anymore.
Yeah.
And this is a situation all of my academy faced. Even though they were the best young talents in Jamaica, we had no way of breaking into the national team and getting the accolades that they deserved. Leon, at 12 years old, was the MVP and leading goal scorer for the under-13 competition, under-15 competition, and under-17 competition. Yet he was not called in any of those teams. So we had to find a way. We had to find a way to get the boys a chance in football. And so what we did was we took Leon, who was the bravest. Kyle, his younger brother, who was the smartest. And Kevon, who was the strongest. And we decided we were going to go to Europe and be pioneers for the academy to bring over the other players by our example. Mm-hmm. So it was very difficult. I mean, remember the first time we went to Red Bull Salzburg and, we went to try and get a trial. And the guy laughed us to scorn. He said, in his Austrian accent, Cool Runnings, the movie, yes, Sanka, yes. Bob Marley, you say, but not football. Not football. And we begged and begged. And eventually, we traveled all across Europe. We're in Austria, Belgium, Holland, Germany, France. And what we were doing was we didn't want to sign to the first club that came along. Because then the story of how good the talents from Phoenix are would die there. It would only be Leon Bailey. So we went to at least 100 clubs, at least. I mean, that's 100 is conservative, at least. With that's no mad. Money, no car, the bag that we owned on our back, one big bag with everything in there, and we're walking across fields. I still have the videos. Because I knew no one would believe it. So I videotaped every single day. So I have tapes going back with us walking across, 1 mile of a farm just to get to the stadium because we saw the lights in the distance. So yes. We just kept walking, And it was hard because we were on visitors' visas. So we couldn't officially work. So I would have to do menial jobs like, cleaning bathrooms and toilets. And I'm leaving my career as a GM for Toshiba for the Caribbean to go clean toilets. But we knew what we wanted, and I knew what I wanted for the boys, and you know, we stuck together and we made it happen.
It's a fantastic story. So he finally gets his work permit, and then is that when he goes to Genk, once you've got that work permit?
Yeah, we went to Genk. We had a strong relationship with Ajax, who was trying to help us over the years. Went there three times, trained. And what we're doing is, while we were going to these clubs on trial, I was learning their best practices. So, you know, I learned the technical skill sets from Genk, learned the total football from Ajax. I'm not seeing that much right now, but it used to be really top. Learned from Bayern Munich, learned from Trenčín, a club in Slovakia, about core. And we did well. We did really well. We got the work permit, started playing in Genk, and I started learning more, you know, to become a better coach, a better administrator. And the boys were doing well. Kyle was in the under-21s, and he top scored the under-21 league and won the league. And Leon went straight into the first team. And in his first year, he had the best goal in the Europa Cup. You know,
fantastic stuff. So then he gets his move to Leverkusen, and it goes pretty well at Leverkusen. But the one thing that I like about, and what I've heard Leon talk about, is that he's very level-headed, and he says the phrase step by step. So taking things step by step to get towards the end goal. So what was his time at Leverkusen like? Were you really happy that he was sort of at a Bundesliga club playing in Europe?
Well, remember, you know, he was very young at the time, so it wasn't really his decision, it was mine. You know, but he understood, and that was the important thing. Because we had Chelsea, Jim Fraser, come to us when the boys were 15, 16, and he wanted to bring both of them over to Chelsea. But I asked the question, I said, what would you do with them when they come? Oh, well, we'll probably have to loan them out eventually because they wouldn't be able to get first team playing time that young. And so we decided to go to Genk, spend a couple of years, build a brand there, then go to Leverkusen, spend another few years and build a name. And then when you go to England, you don't go to England as one of many little princes. You go there as a king. You know, when there's a top player from the Bundesliga versus, you know, an academy player, you know. Whisper, who's another player that we have from, he's now playing in Chelsea. We just signed him to Chelsea. He is much more powerful and can move directly at 18 straight into the first team. You know, I wanted Leon to get the developmental steps and the confidence, and we did it.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So talk about Villa then, my club, the club that I love. At the time of moving to Villa, was it an easy decision to go to Villa? Because we were just selling Jack Grealish. We got no European football. He'd been playing in Europe. So how was the move? How did it come about going to Aston Villa?
Well, to tell you the truth, it was a shock to us. I'll tell you why. Jack Grealish was used as a selling point to bring Leon.
Really?
So when there, he was saying, listen, you'll be playing with Jack and, you know, you'll build a team and team will be built around you guys. And I thought about it and I said, listen, if he goes now to a club that is doing really, really well at the time, because Aston Villa really wasn't doing that well. They had not been in Europe and they were struggling at the time. And I said, if Leon goes to a Man City that is on top right now or a Liverpool right now, what kind of mark would he really make? You know? Mm-hmm. But if he went to Villa and brought Villa back to the glory years of who that club really is, then he would make a big impact. And then people would see who he really is as a player. And we made the choice to go to Villa, and we've seen Villa go through changes. I mean, the first thing was they sacked the coach that brought him there, and then Steven Gerrard came on, And, you know, I always say coaches coach to their strengths. And Gerard was a midfielder, a hardworking central midfielder. And he was not a winger. He didn't understand the concepts of playing creative attacking football. He understood hard work. And so he didn't even, I don't think Gerard used wingers when he was there as a coach. You know, he played all midfielders and he tried to work a wing. And Leon was stripped of his creative duties, you know. When Unai came in, I was very happy because he's a creative coach and he gives the freedom. And I told Leon to stick it out, focus, do the best that you can, don't give up. And that's something with Phoenix. The mantra of our academy is Phoenix can never die and we leave no man behind. So when everything was going and everybody was saying Leon is not a good player, he's flopped, he's not doing well, I still stood by it because I knew who he was and I knew what he would deliver soon enough if given the right chances. And I'm very happy with the coach that is there. I'm happy with his mentality, his focus. We met the other day for the first time and in Holland. I'm very excited about it and what he's been able to deliver and what Leon is doing and his teammates are doing. It's really big. You know, the Villa, man. Respect. Guys are doing really well, and I'm excited about it. I like Munchie. He's the technical director that's there. He's done a very good job bringing the players together, the team together, the focus, and bringing, you know, Unai in. And I'm seeing so much more life in the club, since those guys have been at the helm. And the creativity, the players that are there, you know, Luis, I mean, I love the captain, you know.
McGinn,
yeah. He's a little worried. I mean, you know, Leon don't have to worry. You don't have to look over his shoulder. Ain't nobody.
No. So this season, Bailey's numbers are brilliant. 8 goals, 8 assists. And, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. So when Bailey picks up that ball in that stadium now, everybody's just thinking something is going to happen. And he's playing amazing. You know, all the fans absolutely love Bailey now. So what would you pinpoint that Emery's been able to bring to Bailey's game?
I think he's allowed him to be who he is. You know, every time Leon goes to, and he's playing in the season, when he gets a break to come home, I used to have to do a lot of what I call remedial work with him. You know, I want him to work on his skill sets, work on his creativity, work on being unpredictable. You know, I trained him as a young man to be unpredictable. So if they think he's going to go left, he can go right because he has the tools. The right foot is just as good as the left, you know. And to be creative and to think outside the box. And I think that's what the coach has brought. The coach has faith in the player. And when he has that type of faith in a player, he will deliver, especially a player who has the goods. Chippy, that's his nickname, right?
Yeah.
Chippy, when he was young, if the bigger boys, you know, the bigger boys, the bullies, if he's 8, 9 years old and a 15-year-old or 16-year-old tries to bully him, they're in big trouble because he's not afraid of anything or anyone that he'll fight. So if you give him that freedom to express himself, and, you know, if the club believes in him and his teammates believe in him, he's always going to deliver. Always. Every message.
Yeah.
He gets one. Be unpredictable.
It's fantastic. So, do you think Aston Villa can get top four this season?
Absolutely. As I said before, I think they can win. Yeah. And if they don't win this season, they can win next season. You know? But I think they have the goods to win. I think they have the teamwork to win, the camaraderie to win, the coach to win, the technical director to win, the sporting director to win, and the owners of the club are obviously behind them, you know. It's a family atmosphere. I'll tell you something, when Leon wasn't doing as well, always remember this, whenever he played at home in front of the fans, he always played well. At home in front of the fans. Away he may have difficult games, you know, but he's the type of guy that is motivated by love, motivated by belief and faith, and he will deliver for you.
Who is Leon Bailey off the pitch then? What's Leon like? What does he have, any sort of hobbies that he's into that sort of takes him away from football?
He likes to win. So if he plays dominoes, he wants to win. If he plays table tennis, he and I always have a little rivalry with table tennis. He wants to win. If we're eating crabs, it's a race to see who can eat the most. You know, he's the most competitive guy on the planet, man. I'm telling you. He loves his kids, and he's spending a lot of time with them, and he's becoming a more mature man. You know, he's understanding a lot of how I felt when I was with them growing up, because I basically spent all my time with the kids, you know. They were my best friends. Just imagine being in Europe for 4 years. You don't speak the language. And the only people you have to speak to is a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So, you know, we built bonds that are just unbreakable. And for me, he's the most disciplined guy, you know. Very disciplined. Very focused. And at the same time, fun-loving, you know?
Yeah.
Fun-loving, because we always had fun. No matter what we're doing, we had fun. If we didn't have a lot to eat, we still had fun, you know? And now life is a lot better. But I can tell you this, there's so much more to come. I don't think Leon has hit 40% of his potential yet.
Yeah,
you've not seen 40. You've only seen 40% of what Leon can do.
Well, he's only 26 as well.
Huh?
He's only 26 as well. Very young.
But it's not about the age. It's about the timing. I believe that one day he will be the best player in the world. He'll keep getting better and better. And one day he will be regarded as the best player in the world. You know, Messi's getting older. Christie's getting older. Neymar's injury problems are getting older. Mbappe as well. But I tell you, Leon has no cap on his potential. He has no cap. You've not seen anything yet, you know. And he loves Jamaica, and he plays for the national team as much as possible. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult for him playing.
I was going to ask you about the national team. Like, has he sort of got real unfinished business with the national team?
The problem is this, it's the corruption that's there, you know. The best players don't play, you know. It's the players that are from Cavaliers Football Club that's owned by the chairman of the technical committee that selects the coaches. So if the coach doesn't play the Cavaliers players, even if he wins, like this guy, John Wall, won the 3 qualifiers the other day using Phoenix players. The Phoenix players are scoring and Cavaliers players. But he fired him. Fired him because he wanted him to use just his players. He doesn't want the limelight. I mean, just imagine, the same guy that built Leon and Whisper has been working with this academy and developing these players for 20 years.
Yeah.
So the new crop of players, they are super players. I mean, you have a guy named Denzel McKenzie. He's 17 now. They won the under-19s in Jamaica. They've gone to Aston Villa. We've played friendlies against Villa and won. You know, we've played friendlies against Sheffield and Ajax and a Genk won. So just imagine a little team from Jamaica that's got with almost zero resources other than what we're making a transfer, going to Europe and playing against the Giants and competing. So it means that the talent that we have here is great. And for Leon and the JFF, is just very difficult for him. I let him speak at the appropriate time as to how he feels about the situation. But, you know, you don't treat your best player like he's your worst player. You know?
No.
If you have, for instance, a Harry Kane at the time with England, you give him a certain amount of respect. You give Messi a certain amount of respect with Argentina. You give Ronaldo a certain amount of respect. You provide the security for games that he needs. You know? I mean, Leon is going to be playing games, and people are just able to walk right up to him. Right up to him. I have to commend also Aston Villa for the security. I mean, when he was in, when they played the game against Ajax the other day in Amsterdam, I was there because I had meetings also with Ajax about Denzel McKenzie. And I went to see him after the game on the pitch. And Aston Villa had their security there. And I'm his dad. But they had the security sure that when he came out, he was well protected and no fans would come or, you know, fanatics could come and hurt him. These are the things that are missing from the JFF, the professionalism, you know. And it's unfortunate because in recent times they've not had a player like that. So they never had to do that. It's really schoolboys or players not playing at that high level, you know. But now, with Leon going to the national team, Bobby Reed came in, Mikel Antonio came in, you know, Pinnock came in. Several players that had high levels of football came in and joined. But the level of professionalism that is required is still lacking. And the more we speak about it, the angrier they get, rather than trying to fix the problem. You know, they get upset because they want to. You should just shut up and take it. And it's not correct. You know, when you're knowledgeable, when you're exposed to how it should be, how it is no longer acceptable. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's been great chatting to you, Craig. A real good insight onto Leon Bailey. I wanted to do an episode this week myself, just on my own, about Bailey. And then I thought, do you know what? I'm going to try and get Craig on to talk to us about Bailey. And you said yes. So I'm really grateful that you came on and came on our channel to speak about Leon. So I just want to say thank you for Leon Bailey, because he's absolutely incredible.
And thank you for Aston Villa, because you've given him the opportunity to have a home and to have a team that really believes in him. And it's really a pleasure for me. I know I made the right decision, you know. And I'm a tough negotiator. I'm happy he's at Aston Villa.
Love it, Craig. Thank you.